This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Man, a very brief 1 hour again this week for you. We are up here until hockey at 7 o'clock. Vlad Lusant is with us, and we appreciate you checking us out for the hour. As I said, probably next week, and then the rest of the summer will come at you for 2 hours. We still have the Panthers very much alive, the Heat hanging by a thread, so we'll see what happens as far as that's concerned. About 6:35 this evening, Coach Derek Murdoch, he's the new head coach at Carl Gables. We'll check in with him. Kevin Brockway was at the spring game for the Florida Gators on Saturday. We'll talk to him from the Gainesville Sun. We kick off our show with somebody who covers the University of Miami, and he does it extremely well. Had an opportunity to talk to him out at the spring game, get his thoughts a little bit on spring as well as the spring game, Gio Mion. And he's kind enough to kick off our show on a Monday. Gio, thanks so much for taking the time. And, well, spring's over. Now the portal opens, and your work never ends.
Yeah. usually some years ago before the transfer portal, things would kind of die down and slow down between these 3 months up until leading up to fall camp in August. But now it's basically become a year-round thing. But it's exciting, though.
Yeah, it keeps you busy. And obviously now with the portal kind of kicking in on Wednesday, you saw the entire spring. You watched the spring game. Obviously, it was kind of vanilla in a lot of ways. We didn't see quite a few players that they kind of knew about, and they didn't really, you know, need to get them out there and, you know, risk any injury. What did you come out of spring thinking? You know, I mean, obviously, they were looking for the number two quarterback. They were looking for depth. What did you come out of spring with?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you could take away from the spring game, as you mentioned, Larry, because the amount of guys that they were holding out, mostly just precautionary for any Cane fans listening, not anything too serious in terms of injuries for certain key players. Like, you didn't see, like, JoJo Trader or Elijah Lofton out there. Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesidor only played about a series, but the one series Bain did play, he basically dominated. He would have had like two sacks in live action. So for the most part, though, just my takeaways from the spring, I think the team is a bit more well-rounded this year. I have some concerns, though, like in terms of their defensive tackles. Like, after their top three guys, there's quite a bit of a drop-off. I think they'll have to address that in the transfer portal. I think they need a little bit of help at linebacker, potentially add another safety. But the defense looks improved, though. I was right there on the sidelines right next to the new defensive coordinator, Coach Heatherman, and Damian Lewis, who's coaching the defensive tackles now. Noticed they were very intense. And one of my takeaways from the spring game, though, would be I think the communication has improved. You didn't really see guys confused or pointing at each other, trying to figure things out when the offense would go in motion or any line shifts as well.
Do you think that intensity, you know, you said Heatherman, and he's known as a guy who will get in your face. And obviously, you know, there's a time for that. Then there's a time that it's probably too extreme. Is he that guy who's found that balance? Because you do have some veterans you had mentioned with Mesidor, with, you know, Bain. And then obviously guys like Justin Scott and Armando Blunt are going to be really, really good. And then you got, you know, some experience with Moten and the kid Blay, who they brought in as well. And then Malik Bryan, who's still trying to make that, you know, that transition from that outside linebacker to maybe, you know, a defensive lineman, and then the kid Hayden Lowe. Do you think that in that defensive front, as you mentioned, maybe it's a lot thinner only because of the experience? Because you do have some really good kids, you know, coming up. I mean, we talked about Blay, who's a guy who's, you know, had some experience. Certainly Moten's is had 25, 26 games of experience. Do you think that it's a drop off only because of the they haven't had that opportunity to get those snaps, or do you think it is a talent differential between what you have in the first four and then what you have behind them?
I think there's a talent differential when it comes to the defensive tackles. I think their defensive ends, they're as loaded as they have ever been in quite some time. I'm talking about they could go 6-7 deep with their pass rushers on the edges. I'm talking about guys like from Reuven Bain on down to Mesidor Blunt, as you mentioned, Marquise Lightfoot really coming on at the end of spring, Hayden Lowe, even Booker yep. Pickett and Elias Rudolph can play too. And funny enough, like they don't even have Cole McConathy right now. He was banged up a bit, but they're super high on him in the program. It's just the defensive tackles, though. What I mean by that is right after Justin Scott, who I think has a very good chance to become a national name this year as long as he stays healthy, Ahmad Moten and David Blay, after those guys, the drop-off, like, in terms of talent, yes, or just readiness, too. It's not the same situation that you see at defensive end that they could keep rotating these guys. I think they may need to add a veteran or two just to shore up their depth for this season because injuries will happen, guys will go down. But they do have something with Dante Simpson, though, out of Chaminade Madonna Prep. I think he's a bit ahead of the curve, especially a young kid, too. He technically could have been a 2026 recruit as well. But I'm just concerned with the drop-off after that top group there. I don't think they're as deep at defensive tackle.
Right. Yeah, getting back to the defensive end, there's one player that perhaps you didn't mention, but I think he's got talent. He's got to grow a little bit more is Marquise Lightfoot. I mean, here's a kid that we watched in the All-Star game last year as a senior, and the kid just dominated. He's got length, just has to put on some weight. Is there a future? Because I know that he and Elias Rudolph are basically the same type of guy. They're both long. They both have a lot of athleticism. Are those two guys right there, along with Cole McConathy, really probably the future of this the defensive ends?
Yeah, they'll definitely be in the mix, especially Lightfoot. He, like I mentioned earlier, he's really come on the last couple of weeks of spring practice. The light is starting to flicker there. He really flashed in the spring game too, as well. I would say, you know, some people had the concerns about his weight and whatnot last season, but he's put on some considerable size since last year. So
yeah,
I think he's a guy who could really factor in this year. And Heatherman's defense, they really have that stand-up rusher role pronounced compared to the defense Miami had last year. So Lightfoot could find himself a role on this team really quick.
No doubt. Gio Mion joins us. Gio, the linebackers, you had brought them up. Maybe there's a little bit of concern. Wesley Bissaint, obviously, as much experience as anybody, has gotten bigger. I think he gained, 26, 27 pounds over the last since season ended. And then Popo Aguirre, if he stays healthy, obviously a playmaker. Beyond that, what about Cam Pruitt? You think there's a place for Cam Pruitt to kind of like become that guy down the line?
Yes, I think he'll be very much in that rotation this year. You kind of saw him get some snaps near the end of last season, especially in the Syracuse game when they really needed a spark and he forced that fumble on the Syracuse running back in that last regular season game. But he's put on a little bit more size this offseason. I don't know if he would necessarily be a full-time starter type of guy yet, but very much he'll be in the mix of rotation at linebackers. I know some people around the program, just internally, they're really high on what his ceiling can be, just from an athletic standpoint as well. He can cover guys out in space. He played some safety in high school as well. And instinctual, too. Very, very, very instinctual. So I think he's someone who could factor in, but after that, it kind of gets a little murky. You have some veteran guys like Jalen Alderman and Chase Smith, who's battled a lot of injuries, but they're gonna need some help there.
Yeah, Kellen Wiley is a guy who had a nice spring. He's young, but he's got a lot of potential. I know I heard you talking positively about him as well. And I like the kid Adarius Hayes. I watched him in high school, and I thought that the kid had a lot of promise. A lot of teams were after him. Obviously, those are two young guys, but two guys that can catch up pretty quick. Let's go to the secondary before we get to offense. Obviously, Xavier Lucas and most likely, you know, at the other corner will be O.J. Frederick. You got Zaquan Patterson, Zachariah Poyser, Charles Brantley. Beyond that, what do you like?
I really like what Charles Brantley brings to the secondary, especially as a nickel corner. Very feisty, a smaller guy, about 5'11", maybe 170, some change there, but really physical, aggressive. He was competing a lot with Josiah Trader just throughout spring. Those two guys were going at it just about every day. I love what Xavier Lucas brings from the aspect of, like, you talk about NFL potential, 6'2", over 200 pounds, ran a 10.4 in the 100 meter. It's translating to the field, too. I think it was possibly the biggest coup Miami could have got aside from Carson Beck in the winter transfer portal period. He's definitely helped that room a lot. Ethan O'Connor has flashed as well. He may not start. He may start. We'll see. O.J. Frederick's been a little on the mend, but he'll be back shortly as well. And Damari Brown, he's finally healthy again. He came back near the end of spring, and he looked pretty good out there during the spring game. So I think Miami's got a collection of about, I would say, roughly about four corners that even your second-team guys with that group, they could start at about 100-something other programs around the country. We have 130 nice college football teams.
That's refreshing. Especially over last year. Before we let you go, did we find a number two quarterback? Because I know they gave a lot of snaps on Saturday to Emery Williams, and maybe that was just to give him some film to get showcased, you know, to enter the portal. Did we find the number two behind Carson Beck?
I don't think they've necessarily found a number two yet. I think if the season started today, they would likely go with the experience of Emery Williams, but he's also weighing, I'm sure you've probably seen the report at this point that surfaced on Sunday, but he's weighing potentially entering the transfer portal, or he may not. He may stay at Miami. He was solid during the spring game and throughout spring, but just plays a very safe, conservative. He's a game manager type of quarterback. He hasn't taken that step that everyone would hope that he would have after seeing, like, how he beat a ranked Clemson team his freshman year when he had to step in for Tyler Van Dyke. Judd Anderson, great athlete. It was really rough day for him. Multiple picks that he threw. I loved what I saw from Luke Nickel. I know from speaking to some people around the program over the past week leading up into the spring game, they mentioned that the game was starting to slow down for him. I think he processes things much better now compared to when I saw him at the start of spring. And he's got a gunslinger mentality. The other guys seem a little timid when they're throwing the ball. Luke Nickel, he may make some mistakes here and there, but he's willing to throw it, though. And I think there's some tools to work with there.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that Miami's got to get in that mode where, especially too at center, where you can't keep getting portal kids. You got to kind of develop those players. I thought Ryan Rodriguez would be a guy that would step in, but he's probably going to play guard. Let me ask you, you were talking about Luke Nickel, does this where things change where Miami, that they're not going to be so much hunting in the offseason for another quarterback, because you have Luke Nickel, you have Darian Coleman coming in. Could this be the nucleus of the group? Because I'm impressed, as the same with you as with Luke Nickel. Does he kind of get that learning curve this year and maybe next year compete for that starting job?
I think we could see a scenario play out like that. I wouldn't put it off the table yet that Miami potentially takes out an insurance policy out of the transfer portal for a quarterback if someone does decide to leave that room behind Beck. It won't be Nickel, but
No, I hope not. I mean, that's he and Darian Coleman are the kind of guys you build with. Gio, let everybody know how they can follow you. You got some really good things. I know you're going to be really busy the next couple of weeks, and that's great, because let everyone know how they could follow you, what you write, your podcast, and all everything else.
Of course. Everyone, you can follow me if you're on social media, at Gio Million on X or Instagram. Also have a weekly show with former Miami Hurricanes wide receiver Amon Richards called Who Wants Smoke. We'll be live later tonight as well.
Nice. Hey, I can't thank you enough. We'll get you a lot during the off season. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Larry. Anytime.
Good stuff. Gio Million, I told you, he brings it strong. He knows all the ins and outs. He's around there all the time. That's a great thing. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, you know, they're experts treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. We're with you up until Panther hockey this evening. Short show next week. Obviously, we'll start getting back on the two-hour deal, and we'll have plenty of guests. But tonight, we have a pretty good roster for you. When we come back, we're going to talk University of Florida football. Kevin Brockway from the Gainesville Sun is on deck. Larry Bluestein with you up until 6:45. We got Panther hockey against the Rangers. Vlad Lusant will be with you the entire evening, checking that game out. The next couple of games will be important, obviously, for home ice advantage for the Panthers. Hopefully they will get that, defending Stanley Cup champions. As I said, if you have any of the interviews this evening, we have three good, really good guests. Any of the interviews this evening, if you miss, just go to WQAM.com. Top of the page where it says podcast, you'll see South Florida High School Sports, and you'll be able to catch up on all the information that you missed over the last couple weeks. Talking to Gio Million, Miami Hurricanes had their spring game on Saturday, which we had an opportunity to go to. You know, vanilla, a lot of not. I'm sure the same thing happened up in University of Florida, but they got some new faces to look at. So does everybody. Kevin Brockway from the Gainesville Sun is always on top of his Gators, and he's kind enough to join us this evening. Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time. Big doing, 54,000 people on Saturday to watch University of Florida go through their spring game. We had probably around 4,500 on campus at Miami. Was it kind of vanilla? Did they learn anything, or did the answers haven't come yet?
Well, you know, Larry, for one thing, they were there in part to celebrate the national championship basketball team.
Okay.
They had a nice ceremony at halftime, so that, I think that helped the gate a little bit. Also, the fact that it wasn't televised or streamed, I think, helped. And as a result, Billy Napier felt like he could show a little more during the game. But, you know, I think one of the big stories of the game really was Dallas Wilson. I mean, 10 catches, 195 yards, just really tore up the defense of the blue team throughout that game. I mean, he looks, you know, ready-made to play in the SEC at 6'2", 209 pounds. He was very good, and some young defensive guys flashed too, including you know, the kid from Loxahatchee, Ty Jackson, he had 11 tackles. Drake Stubbs from Mandarin had an interception. And Ben Hanks had a nice pass breakup on a pass to Wilson in the end zone. So I think it was a good day for the younger guys to kind of show those early enrollee freshmen. Some of them really made an impact in this game.
Yeah, well, Dallas Wilson's almost like Eugene Wilson was last year. You know, I mean, everybody said this kid's a stud. He's, you know, he looks the part, and obviously Dallas was one of the top recruits in the country, committing to Oregon first and then flipping over. But you know, a game like this, and especially the names that you kind of rattled off there, Kevin, this is kind of to reinsure those season ticket holders and all the boosters that, hey, you know, Florida football is alive and kicking. They had a great recruiting class, as we know. Any other players that were kind of newcomers You know, any transfer portal players, did they have any snaps? Did anybody kind of like shine at positions that, you know, there were some question marks?
You know, J. Michael Sturdivant had a nice catch early, had a 29-yard catch early. And as you know, DJ Lagway did not play. He hasn't been throwing all camp, although Billy Napier said, you know, post-game, he's going to start throwing in 2 weeks. I mean, Lagway did actually appear in the game, but he handed off all four times. But okay. That being said, it opened some things up for Harrison Bailey, you know, the transfer from Louisville, also the quarterback. And because he had Wilson on his team, he threw for 360 yards and three TDs.
Wow.
So he looks like a possible reliable backup. I mean, Aiden Warder, the walk-on from last year, also did okay. And you know, one of the things I wrote about was, you know, if you remember 2 years ago, that Thursday night 10-7 game, it was kind of morbid, and Lane Kiffin kind of, you know, went on Twitter and made fun of him, put the burn sign on. This was a 38-32 game. I mean, both offenses, even without Lagway playing, both offenses moved up and down the field. Now, is it possibly an indictment on Florida's defense? Who knows? But I think it shows that the offensive skill level talent has, you know, dramatically improved with some of these recruiting classes, and the offensive line too, obviously, with, you know, an All-American like Jake Slaughter coming back at center.
Yeah. I mean, and you bring up some good points. I mean, obviously, the spring game is kind of like vanilla, but at the same time, when you have a lot of new faces, you kind of want to get them in action. I mean, I know they had all those 14 or 15 practice days to kind of look at other people without media around or without any cameras around. Were there any of those players that took anybody take a gigantic leap in the off season? I mean, you know, because there were some guys at the end of last year you had just mentioned on the offensive line. I mean, they returned some pretty good kids on the offensive line.
You know, Bryce Lovett is the one guy that's going to step into the right tackle role, and he's going to be very interesting to see. You know, he was a guy that was a redshirt freshman last year and made the SEC freshman team. So he steps into a little more responsibility as a starting right tackle next year. And he's, you know, versatile enough to play all five spots, but he's going to be
right.
A guy that's going to be worth watching in, you know, in terms of his, you know, Fletcher Westfall, another guy in the offensive line too, that's starting to come on as a sophomore. Miles Graham on defense, linebacker. Aaron Childs played very well. He's had a very good spring. So those two young linebackers, you know, along with Jaden Robinson and Pop Howard didn't play, and that kind of opened some things up for Ty Jackson, as I mentioned earlier. So there's a lot of good young linebackers there as well, and I think, you know, certainly they're very excited. I mean, I think one of the keys is going to be up front, you know, obviously with Cam Jackson and Des Watson gone. How do you replace that kind of beast? But Makai Burrow is a guy also coming up as a sophomore that they feel like has a lot of promise too.
Yeah, no doubt. Kevin Brockway joins us, Gainesville Sun newspaper, covers the Gators. And what about the portal? We open up in 2 days. Has there been any talk about what's going to happen? Either way, I mean, does anybody come in? Does anybody that's disgruntled maybe leave? Has there been any talk?
Well, you know, the running back position is going to be interesting because of the fact that, you know, Jacoby Jackson has really come on. He and Jaden Baugh. So, you know, a guy like Treyon Webb might be the odd man out.
Okay.
But, you know, Billy Napier said post-game, he felt like 98% of his roster is quote-unquote committed to sticking around. So they feel pretty good about, you know, the chance for retention here. And maybe they'll add something. I don't know. You know, I thought Harrison Bailey looked better than expected at quarterback, but with DJ Lagway's situation, you might want a little insurance there, one more veteran guy. But we'll see. But both quarterbacks, like I said, you know, they didn't do that bad in the spring game. Not as bad as, you know, played a little better than I expected they would. And maybe they feel pretty comfortable with the quarterback room. I mean, Tramell Jones played a little bit too, the true freshman.
Okay.
But it's mainly Bailey right now and Warner battling for that backup job behind Lagway.
Did the kid Clay Milan, did he come back or no?
He did, yeah, but he's not really a factor. He's not really playing much, you know, in terms of, you know, in the rotation right now. It's really going to be between Bailey and Warner for the backup job. And, you know, fingers crossed with DJ Lagway in the shoulder. I think they feel like, you know, obviously they had him on, you know, some kind of off-season pitch count. They just didn't want him to throw. But they say physical therapy is going well and that he's going to be back throwing in a few weeks and should be back in time for fall camp.
Another kid that I was kind of concerned, maybe, I don't know if he was hurt or did he have a good spring, was about L.J. McCray. Last year at this time, he was the talk of the country. How's he progressed?
You know, he's doing okay. You know, I think with defensive linemen, sometimes it takes a little time. It just depends on the situation. And they've moved him to that jack position. And there's obviously a lot of competition there with George Gums coming back, Cameron James. But he will probably get some opportunities as a pass rusher, as a guy that can potentially make an impact on the defense in 2025.
Right. And Tyreek Zapp, obviously, of St. Thomas Aquinas, the guy has kind of blown up over the last couple of years. He's probably the bell cow, the guy that everybody's going to be looking at. What kind of spring did he have?
Oh, yeah. Tyreek was Tyreek. I mean, and he's a great kid, too. He's going to be a leader. Yep. You know, Caleb Banks didn't play on the defensive line, but he's another guy on the inside, too, that obviously is a veteran, and they're hopeful will bring that pass rush up the middle that he brought last year. So with those two guys, you have two guys that are building. But Cheryl Chapman did a really nice job, the defensive line coach, with that unit last year. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can kind of build off that and generate more sacks and pressures in 2025.
Yeah. Then they had some dudes, too. You know, they had kid Jamari Lyons, who played at times, pretty good. Michael Burrow, who obviously is a kid who's a young guy, and also DeAndre Robinson. And those are guys that I have a feeling down the line we'll see what happens with their depth. But certainly, as you said, you know, with Sapp and then Caleb Banks and then Gums, you got some good guys up front. Secondary, I mean, for the future, it's going to be crazy. I mean, if you look at Drake Stubbs, and then you mentioned, obviously, Ben Hanks Jr. to go what they have, with Thornton and Jordan Castell from West Orange. But things are looking good.
Who else has turned things around a little bit is Cormani McLean. His attitude is much better.
Yes.
He's put on about 20 pounds. He looks like a much better, more focused player than he obviously was a couple of years ago, and has obviously taken this off
to
heart. And I think he'll be a factor. I think he'll be playing a lot of corner for the Gators next year.
Good stuff. Kevin, let everybody know how they can follow you, read your stuff, also your social media.
Yeah, at Kevin Brockway G1 on X, GatorsportsGazel.com. And Larry, I just wanted to wish you a happy Passover before I leave.
Thank you very much. You too. Have a good one. We'll talk real soon.
All right. Thank you.
Good stuff. Kevin Brockway from Gainesville Sun newspaper doing a tremendous job, as he always does. And as you know, we cover every school in this state. We have a representative. We're going to be starting in a couple of weeks, we'll be having head coaches on. Mario Cristobal will be scheduled. Mike Norvell will be coming on. So we have a bunch of head coaches from around the state and also from around the country, as well as April finishes up and May starts, and then you have the high school spring as well. Speaking about high school, a lot of coaching changes this year in the offseason in South Florida, Miami-Dade, and Broward County. One of them made some news a couple of weeks ago. Coral Gables, obviously a historic program in South Florida. Coach Welch, Frank Welch, did a great job. You know, in this day and age, it's never really easy. But Coach Derek Murdoch has done an awesome job wherever he's been. He's got a lot of ties, a lot of respect in the community. And he not only comes alone, but he brings a former Coral Gables legend and Buddy Howe with him. But certainly Coach Murdoch gets an opportunity and a well-deserved opportunity to take over, and he's kind enough to join us. Coach, first of all, congratulations. Couldn't happen to a better guy. I know you've worked extremely hard, and welcome to Coral Gables.
Thank you, Mr. Bluestein. I appreciate it. Looking forward to the opportunity to try to change this program around.
You know that it's there's a lot of great reputation in the school. It's an iconic school for so many decades. I mean, there's some great players. Obviously, one of your assistant coaches is one of the great players, the Frank Gores of this world. I mean, what is it going to take to get it back to that level? Because you know, and as well as I do, in this day and age, I mean, these kids take off every other week for somewhere else, and they're promised all these things. What do you think is going to take to get this thing going and keep it at a level where kids go, hey, I don't need to leave?
Well, I think we got to get back into the community, let them know that what we're doing, build relationships some of the players we have on board already. And just, you know, working Buddy, using his network. And just, you know, I believe in what we do. And my coaching philosophy, my guys, I brought a lot of guys with me from previous stints. But, you know, we want to get back into that community and let them know that, hey, look, this is what we got and this is where we at.
Yeah. We'll talk about that because you know as well as I do that your assistant coaches make the program. I mean, they are with the kids all the time. You don't have an opportunity. You have to oversee a lot of the stuff. Let's put a little more emphasis on some of the coaches that you brought with you, because a lot of these kids who are listening tonight, you know, on the show that are maybe, you know, I'd like to go to Carl Gables. Talk about some of your coaches, because I know who they are. I've watched them, you know, over the last couple of years develop kids. And I know that where you come from, it's all about developing. It's all about teaching. Talk about that a little bit.
All right. Yeah. For one, I got, I just mentioned before, Buddy Howell, NFL player, former NFL player, Super Bowl champion. I brought my D-line coach with me, Andrew Gutierrez. We also call him Lou, Coach Lou, defensive line specialist. I call him a guru.
Yes, he is.
Hey, hands down, I like him over everybody. Coach Gabriel Watson, Johnny Cleveland, you know, we have a lot of experience on the staff, and everybody, you know, is pretty works well together. You know, we feed off each other energy. And those guys, you know, bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, no doubt. How was the reception? I mean, when you got there as far as, you know, some of the kids that, you know, are coming back from last year? Because you have a couple of 2026 players that come back. How was that, you know, the first meeting with the kids?
I think it went well. All the kids, you know, after spending talking with them, asking them what they were looking for, their vision, and what they think that needed to happen. I listened to the kids, and I fed off a senior that's been there, Andy Sosa. Great kid. He brings a lot to the table, size, strength, ability, and that's the thing. You know, that kid is, you know, he's very talented. When I say very talented, I mean very talented. Him, Robert Randolph, plays him a secondary. So we have some pieces there. And like I said, you know, I just fed off their energy, and they very welcoming, and they're intrigued, and they're excited to get the ball going.
You know, you bring up Andy Sosa, and I know Andy, and you're right. He's not only a great football player, but a great young man, and he's a leader. Now, he's the guy. I mean, he's the guy showing, hey, listen, you know what? I want to stay here. I'm proud of this school. I'm proud of the program. I mean, you don't get a tougher district. I mean, your district is extremely tough. I mean, you play a really challenging schedule along the way. I mean, like I said, I mean, you're going to get a lot of young kids. You have to go back to the youth football. And I'm sure Coach Howell will relay that, because that's what made Carl Gables so impressive over the years, is they relied on the youth programs. They had a great tie. How do we get back into the youth programs? I mean, back in the day, you had Coconut Grove and you had a lot of those programs within the area. How do we get back in there? Do we like invite the kids and their coaches to practice? How do you get back into, you know, that relationship with the future of your program?
Absolutely. We plan on going out to each and one of the individuals, Optimus programs. You know, I'm very familiar with doing that, building programs from the parks, Sandy Land, Kendall, Coconut Grove, especially Coconut Grove. We got to hit that Coconut Grove area and bring it back. You know, all the local Optimus programs, South Miami Great Goals, we plan on hitting those schools, Buddy and I, and reaching out and bringing those kids in to the program, letting them take a tour and letting them take a look at the weight room and, you know, just trying to work with the community as far as getting Carl Gable Senior High School back to what it used to be. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do think the Optimus is very big. That's very important, pivotal, filling that pipeline.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Coach Derek Murdoch is the head coach at Carl Gables. His first year, doing a tremendous job laying the groundwork. It's all about the groundwork. And certainly, Coach, with you, I think they got somebody positive. Like I said, you're a teacher. You're a coach. You're a type. You're a role model. You're a mentor, which every program needs. And obviously the parents. And that's another thing, parental involvement. You want to get those parents involved. And, you know, we had a camp last Saturday at Gwen Cherry Park. And that was the one thing we talked to all the parents and wanted to make sure, hey, you need to know what your kid's doing. You just can't drop them off at practice or a camp and just, you know, that's it. You got to get involved. And I know that you guys are all about that. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time this evening. I appreciate you, man. Best of luck. We'll hook up again and we'll get out there for practice.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, Larry, for having me. I look forward to speaking with you guys again. Thanks a lot, man. Happy Passover.
You too. Thanks so much, Coach Derek Murdoch. What a tremendous job. He's got ahead of him, but he's got a lot of he's got some potential. He's got some talent out there as well. That's going to do it. It is a short one. Thanks so much to Vlad the Lusant for doing an excellent job as he's done. We'll be back with you next week. Don't forget, got hockey this evening, the Panthers and the Rangers. Have a great night. We'll see you.